Growing up young and brown or black in this country can be a scary thing. And it's been highlighted time and time again by stories about police interactions with people of color. But even when nobody ends up shot or injured, going to jail can be a terrifying, life-changing experience. Take the case of Khalif Browder, who was profiled recently in the New Yorker magazine. He spent over 1,000 days in jail on Rikers Island, here in New York, without a trial, and spent much of that time in solitary. Jennifer Gonerman, the reporter of the story, joins us now from Brooklyn. Welcome to Latino USA, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us a little bit, Jennifer, about how you came upon this story.
The more I looked into it, the more important I thought his story was, because even though his case is a pretty extreme example of what can go wrong in the system, his case also illustrates so many of the institutional failings of our entire criminal justice system. Everything from the state of indigent defense, which is the sort of legal representation that poor people get from court-appointed attorneys, to the right to a speedy trial, which barely even exists in the Bronx, to jail conditions, the overuse of solitary confinement. And another issue, which is I would call it post-traumatic stress disorder, but the impact of spending so much time in solitary on a young person in particular.
In your piece, you actually quote someone that's saying that if a parent locked their 16-year-old as, you know, as punishment and locked them in their room for 23 hours, you know, a day, that you would be arrested for endangering the welfare of a child. And yet, this is our city doing the same thing to our kids.
I know, that's one of the most disturbing quotes in the entire piece.
Well, how do we square that? I mean, especially because Rikers did have a reformer as the commissioner before the current commissioner, who was saying that they were trying to humanize Rikers.
But on Rikers Island, they have something which they call cell study, which is an officer coming to your door in the morning and dropping off a couple of worksheets and telling the teenager that he's going to come back and pick them up in 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. And so Khalif would actually really work on these worksheets, math, you know, reading, writing, because he figured, well, I'm already locked up. You know, I got to do something. I might as well just try to do something to pass the time. And then the day would come when the worksheet would be due, or he thought the worksheet would be due. And sometimes they would come to pick it up, but sometimes they wouldn't come to pick it up. And he would find himself sort of at the window, banging on the door of his solitary cell, saying, "Where is the correction officer to pick up my work?" Now, you know, it is kind of just a minor detail in a much longer story, but it really, really stuck with me because I felt like it really spoke volumes about, you know, the complete apathy and lack of any regard for his basic human rights, you know, the right to get an education.
In terms of this reporting with Khalif and the lost 3 years, almost 4 years of his life, what do you think that you can draw on in terms of how young men of color are treated when it comes to due process and constitutional rights?
You know, you only have to take one trip to Rikers Island or just about any, you know, jail or prison and around here and walk through the visiting room and see who is, you know, most significantly impacted by all of our criminal justice policies. You know, whether it's who gets arrested, who gets bail, who can make bail, who gets a right to a speedy trial, who doesn't, and who ends up, you know, enduring the punishment of Rikers Island.
Jennifer, what do you think? I mean, Khalif is out now. What is he fearful of now?
You know, he told me when I interviewed him shortly before this story came out that every night before he goes to sleep, he checks to make sure that every window in the house is locked. Or when he rides the subway, he always feels terrified. And he told me, "I might be attacked, I might be robbed, because believe me, in jail, you know, there's all type of criminal stuff that goes on." You know, I think he cannot, of course, forget all of the things that he witnessed. And all of those things that he either saw happened or which happened to himself, are enough to keep somebody fearful for a very long time.
The piece is called Before the Law. A boy was accused of taking a backpack. The courts took the next 3 years of his life. It came out in the October 6th issue of The New Yorker. Jennifer Gonerman, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA and for all of your work.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.